Hi, everyone. This is the Busy Creator Podcast. I'm your host, Prescott Perez Fox, and this is another B-side episode, a bonus episode made just for you. Yeah, today's show is a bit of a treat. It's my old friend, Christina Canters, who you may remember was a guest on this show almost 2 years ago, way back in episode 23. And this is her presenting a talk live at the New York City Podcast Meetup. This event took place on July 12th, and the topic of Christina's talk is how to build confidence in speaking, both on the mic and in person. Again, this was recorded live, so you'll definitely hear some audience interaction, and also a few moments where I'll do my best to narrate what's going on, especially if it's a gag that only works when seen. So stay with us and hear everything that Christina has to offer. There are, in fact, going to be show notes for this episode over at busycreator.com/bonuschristina. And because this is a bonus episode, and once again, that's busycreator.com/bonuschristina. All one word, and in this case, Christina is spelled C-H-R-I-S-T-I-N-A. So that's how I consider it, sort of the normal way, but that's that. So check out that page and busycreator.com in general. And if you're interested in the New York City Podcast Meetup, the website for that is nycpodmeet.com. That's nycpodmeet.com. Okay, let's get right into the conversation, the bonus conversation, a live presentation from Christina Canters recorded at the offices of Vector Media in Manhattan. No wrap-up after this, just enjoy the B-side episode, and I'll talk to you soon. All right. Okay, hello everyone. Thank you for coming once again. Glad to have you all here. And today we are welcoming a guest, Miss Christina Canters, all the way from Australia. And as you can see, I have a mic here, so I am recording this. And I'm going to produce this talk as a podcast episode, so I'll definitely let you know when that goes up. So Christina's going to have a mic as well. Even though we're all in this intimate setting, you can hear us. It is going to be recorded. And we're also going to open it up at the end to a little bit of Q&A. So you can come up to the mic and ask a question. We can open it up for a little bit of dialogue. That'll be fun. I don't have the usual welcoming spiel because I want to save time for Christina. So definitely check your email after the event. Probably tomorrow morning, I'll send up that recap with all the links and resources that I usually do. Just a few quick things. We were at the Podcast Movement Conference last week. Lene was there. I was there. I have some flyers from Libsyn, who are the hosts that I use. So if you're curious about their service, they gave me some flyers. And Audible.com also gave me some little pamphlets there because they have a free sign-up. And they also have this new service. I forget what it's called, actually. But it's a whole – sorry, what is it? Channels, the Audible channels. Okay, that sounds about right. That aside from – like regular audiobooks, they now have all this kind of short form content, lots of different, like she was saying, like channels, basically a whole bunch of produced podcasts, and that's part of your Audible membership. So check, there's a flyer up there. Check it out if you're interested as well. But the ritual that I want to continue, even though I'm not doing my kind of formal thing, is about the milestones. So has anyone since the last time we met launched their show or had a notable guest or reached a milestone in terms of episode number, something like that you want to share with the group? Oh, Greg, what do we got? Awesome. All right, Greg, 100 episodes and 350,000 lifetime downloads. Ah, that's great. Okay, in that case, I have a special gift for you. I'll give it to you right. I'm not holding it, but I will give it to you in just a second. But yeah, I want to welcome to the stage Christina Canters, who is going to speak on the area of her expertise, which is speaking and performing and just being awesome, rocking the mic. So, Christina, come on up. Take it away.
Okay, thank you. Good levels. Thank you. Good levels. All right, excellent. Tell me when my levels are getting a little bit. Wait, okay. Oh, can we give a big hand for Prescott for organizing this, by the way? Yay! I said to him, I'm coming to New York. Can we do like some sort of meetup? And he said, yeah, I'll organize that. So he organized that, which is amazing. And also a hand for Nick for hosting us and for the pizzas. One thing I love about the US is the pizza here. I eat a lot of pizza when I'm here and go back having to buy extra clothes. Now, another thing that I love about the States is that the people here, you love to talk. And you love to talk so much that you'll approach people and talk to them even when it's about, like, nothing, about nothing at all. For example, when I was in Chicago, I was sitting in the hotel lobby and I was eating a salad, and out of nowhere, this lady just comes up to me and goes, "Oh, what have you got there? Oh, a salad? Oh, what have you got in there? Is that spinach? You got some almonds? You got some avocado? Wow. You know, I was going to go to Whole Foods and get a salad, but it's a little bit far away. I don't know. I was thinking, should I Uber there? Is it even worth getting an Uber? Should I walk? I don't know. Will I be back in time for the..." And I'm like, what? If you did that to someone in Melbourne, where I'm from, they'd be like, "Please don't hurt me. Please don't hurt me. Have the salad. Just have the salad. Have the salad." And this is so, but I actually really love this about Americans, because back home people tend to not actively and happily approach other people and talk. And this is part of what I like to do in my business, is to help people be better at striking up conversations, be more confident at speaking about themselves, whether that's in a networking situation like this or whether it's public speaking in front of a group, as well as with podcasting. And the podcasting part is what I spoke about at the Podcast Movement Conference last week in Chicago. So today, firstly, can I just see who here already has a show? A few of you? Awesome. Who here doesn't have a show but they're thinking of starting one? Excellent. And who's here because you were cruising meetup.com and thought, that looks interesting, I'll just go? Yeah! Here we go. Gotta love that. Gotta love that. Fantastic. So today I'm going to talk about how to really build up this self-confidence in yourself when you are about to sit down in front of the mic and record. Because it's, for those of you who haven't started podcasting yet, trust me, when you get to episode one and you sit down for the very first time and you go, "Yeah, I'm going to talk about this thing," and then you hit record and that red light starts to flash and you stare at it and all of a sudden your hands start to sweat and you go, "Oh my God, what if I say the wrong thing?" Ah! So today I'm going to talk about how to build your confidence with doing that, and also how that translates into speaking, into real life, because I've learned that there are a lot of similarities between speaking on a podcast as well as speaking in public to a group. So why should you bother? Firstly, when you're more confident in yourself, you automatically come across as more authentic. And if you follow podcasters and talk to others about podcasting, you know that a lot of people talk about being authentic and being able to really connect with your audience. And that's what makes a huge difference. If you're authentic, you can connect with other people. This is the same when you're speaking in public as well, building that connection with your audience. That's how you begin to grow as a speaker, as a podcaster, grow your show, grow your listener base, all of that. And today I'm going to share with you five big ideas on how to build up your confidence. We don't have much time, so I'm just going to give you a really quick overview of my background and where I'm from. So this is me. I'm this many years old. I'm from here. Well, from here, which is really far from here. I like doing this, this, and this. I like eating this, this, and this. I went to this school. I graduated, became an architect, then read this book, and then said this. Then I moved here, and then I learned podcasting from this guy, launched my first podcast, dressed up as a superhero, made a rap video for this guy, and then I spoke at Podcast Movement 2014. I did a bit more traveling, came home to Melbourne, started dating this guy, launched a new podcast, launched a business, won a business competition, did a few more speaking gigs, got on a plane, spoke at Podcast Movement, ate this, and then now I'm here again. You might have to explain that to the podcast listeners. So I'm really excited to be back here in New York City. So in Melbourne, I work as a public speaking and communication skills coach. My business is called The C Method, and my podcast is called Stand Out, Get Noticed. And what I do is individual coaching, one-on-one. I run workshops and speak at doing lectures and things like that. And the main topics I speak about, it's not just public speaking. People come to me for help with things like their elevator pitch. How do you explain what you do? How do you be confident when networking? How do you approach people? Scott and I actually did a podcast episode together on my show about how to not be awkward when you're out meeting people. one of the most popular episodes of my podcast, might I say. And I'm a big believer in practicing what you preach. And I believe that if you want to grow and build your own confidence, you got to push yourself out of your comfort zone. So what I do is I do my own comfort zone challenges and I document them on the podcast. And these include things like 2 years ago, right, I came here in New York and I did a stand-up comedy gig at an open mic night, one of the scariest things I've ever done. If you ever want to push yourself out of your comfort zone, go do stand-up comedy. It's horrible. I came down from the stage going, I can do anything after that. So those are the things I do on my show. Okay. Oh, by the way, you feel free to like call out, ask any questions as we go through this if anything doesn't make sense. So the first thing I always tell people, if you want to build your confidence as a speaker, as a podcaster, you have to know what your value is. I was once at a communication skills training weekend and there was a woman there, part of the course, and whenever she got up to speak, she would stand with her shoulders hunched over and she'd put her head down and her hair would be in her face and she spoke very quietly and you couldn't really hear what she was saying. And I spoke to her afterwards and she revealed to us that as a child, she was told, you don't have anything important to share. And that had stuck with her throughout her entire adult life. So much so that it was affecting her ability to communicate with people in social situations, at work. It was holding her back from so many areas of her life simply because she believed that she had nothing important to say. So every time before you sit down behind the microphone, or if you're speaking somewhere, or even if you're going for a job interview, I want you to think to yourself and know that what you have to say is important. It is valuable. And that whoever's listening will be worse off if they don't hear what you have to say. Now, if you're struggling a little bit to find your value, what I do with my clients and people who sign up for my stuff on my website, I get them to do this activity where I get them to ask three people who know them well two questions. One is, what do I do well? And then the second question is, why is this important to you? And this is so important because if someone tells you, oh, you do that well, you're a great podcaster, you're a great cook, that's great, but that doesn't help you. But this question, why is this important? This shows you what your value is. I like to send out emails to my list and ask them, you know, what do you think I do well and why is this important? Because I'm trying to grow as well. And I got one email back from a listener in Holland and she said, Christina, I think that you play the ukulele well. And if you listen to my podcast, you'll know what I mean. And she said, and this is important to me because it shows me that you can be silly and you can be funny and you can be yourself and still be taken seriously as an entrepreneur, as an authority, as a business person. And that meant so much to me because at the start I thought I'll just play ukulele because I can't find any intro music that I like and whatever, I'll just put it up there. But after hearing that, I thought the ukulele, that's actually important. That's an important part of my personal brand and part of my business. So it's given me this encouragement to keep going. So it's amazing what you find when you ask people these questions. And that will really help for you to see that value in yourself. Does that make sense? Thanks, Greg. Oh, sorry, Phil. I heard a voice from over there. Something else you can also do is to screenshot all the lovely tweets and emails that you get. I like to put them all in a folder called Crush It in an Evernote folder. And when I'm feeling a little bit meh, I just go through this folder and I go, oh, that person likes me. That person likes me. That person shared this. Yeah, I guess I'm okay. Yeah, I'm all right. So anytime you get a nice message, screenshot it and keep it somewhere and refer back to it. That's a great confidence booster. The second thing that you need to do is to watch your language. I was once speaking to a woman at another event, maybe a party, and she said, she was telling me about how much she loved her job. She'd been doing it for 10 years and wanted to continue. I said, oh, so what do you do? She said, oh, I'm just a PA. And I was like, hang on. You're firstly just a PA. You make your boss look good. He'd be nothing without you. And she was like, yeah, I guess so. Never thought of it that way. But what struck me about that was that word, just, that erodes your confidence over time. And maybe you've said it before, maybe you've thought about it before, maybe you're not even aware of it, but we all tend to do this. Oh, I've just started my podcast. Oh, I've just got 5 episodes. Oh, I've only got 100 downloads. You know, or if you start a business, I've just started my business. It's just a small business. I've only got a couple of clients. You've got a couple of clients, right? If you've got a podcast, you've got 200 downloads. You've got 5 episodes, baby. Because so many people only ever talk about starting a podcast or a business or whatever, and they never do it. So if you have started something that you're proud of, whether it's business, podcast, whether it's you want to be a speaker and you've only had 1 speaking gig, hey, you've had 1 speaking gig. That's amazing. So you've got to be proud of your accomplishments and what you've achieved. So anytime you feel that word just bubbling up, I want you to pause and hear what that sentence sounds like without that word. If you keep speaking like this and not talking yourself down, that in itself will do wonders for building your confidence. Another form of language is body language. Now, in much the same way that our language affects our mind, our body language affects how our mind thinks. Has anyone seen the Amy Cuddy talk on power posing? Raise your hands. Yeah, a few of you? Okay. It's an excellent TED talk, and essentially they did research and they found that your body language actually affects how your mind thinks. So if you assume a really powerful pose, it actually reduces the stress levels in your body and tricks your mind into thinking that you are strong and powerful. You know, if you look at animals in the animal kingdom, when they're trying to be threatening, they make themselves big, right? Big and intimidating. On the contrary, if you are hunched over, if you cross your legs over and you make yourself small, that raises your stress levels and makes your mind think that you are weak, you're powerless. This is what I do with all my clients. I want you all to stand up, everyone who's sitting, and those who are sitting on the chairs. That's right. Everyone get up. And I want you to assume one of these positions right now. So hands on hips, or you can put your hands in the air, or feet. I want feet apart. Very good, very good. I'm going to put this mic down, and I'm going to come around and check you all.
Okay. Christina has just finished testing everyone's pose.
What are you doing? You got to hold it. You have to hold this pose for 2 minutes. How many?
2 minutes.
Fantastic. Keep, hold it. Hold it. It takes 2 minutes for your body to send these signals to your brain that you are strong and powerful and confident. So if you're about to go, keep holding. Fantastic work, everyone. Everyone is still holding their poses. So before your next situation where you might be a little bit nervous, whatever that may be, I want you to go into the bathroom, check that no one's there, stand in front of the mirror, assume this pose and look at yourself in the mirror and hold that. It feels silly. It looks silly, but it's helping you. Okay, you can stop. Very good, everyone. Give yourselves a round of applause. Very good. Very good. And when you sit, I want you to be aware as well. Like, do you automatically shrink back to this position? Or do you sit there with shoulders back and strong? Think about this. If you're about to get up and speak to an audience, if you go from here, sitting waiting for your name to be called, you know, to go up, and then you have to try and get up and be like, hey guys, I'm full of energy. It's like going from zero to a sprint without warming up. And what happens if you do that? You pull a hammy. Exactly, right? Now, you won't pull your hammy if you do this when you're speaking, but you might do some emotional injury. So when you're sitting and waiting to be called up, if it's a speaking engagement or whatever, or even a job interview, some sort of stressful situation, make sure you're standing and you're on as soon as you walk into that building, right? You want to be on so that by the time you get on stage or even behind the mic, whatever, if it's a podcast interview, you want to be on at least, you know, as soon as you can before that thing starts. Zig Ziglar once said, "You don't have to be great to get started, but you have to get started to be great." Who here is good at something? Raise your hand. I'm sure you're all good at something. Come on. Come on. Yes. Yo, fantastic. Everyone here is good at something. I don't know what that something is, but it's something. Now, I want you to think back to when you first started doing that thing. Maybe it's playing basketball or playing chess or knitting or rolling out pizza dough. I don't know. Now, were you really good at that thing when you first started, yes or no?
No.
No. Okay, not all of us are as talented as Greg. For most of us, when you do something for the very first time, you're not good at it. But it takes practice, and you've probably done one, you've repeated it, and built up until you're really good at that thing. It's exactly the same with speaking. It's exactly the same with podcasting. This was my very first podcast.
Presentation skills for design students.
Very, very niche. Now, for me, this is what I knew at the time. If you told me that I'd be podcasting for business people and startups, I would have said, no way. I have no idea about any of that. Like, I don't know how to talk to those people. I didn't know those people. So I started with what I knew. And this is another lesson. Like, if you're a bit nervous about whatever, talk about what you know. Talk about what you like. That will give you that confidence. And with this podcast, that's all I knew. So I started doing that. And 9 months of doing that, I learned, I developed, I grew during that time. And during that time, I became friends with business people. I learned about the startup community. I began to build on my own knowledge and grow as a person. And it was after 9 months of doing this show that I then was equipped to then launch my new show and move on to a different audience. But none of that would have happened if I hadn't started with this. Okay. All right. Normally I do this one. Does anyone here have like pen and paper? No. You have pen and paper? Okay. I'll talk you through this. It's very simple, this exercise, but I want you to do this when you go home and if you're feeling a bit bored or whatever. This is an important exercise. Now, a lot of people, Nick's going to hand around some post-it notes. Fantastic. Thank you, Nick. Yay. Now, a lot of people have this fear of speaking or podcasting or putting themselves out there because they're afraid of being judged. When I first sat down to record, my fears were, what if they don't like me? What if they hate my voice? What if I get hate mail? And a lot of my speaking clients as well, they think, I'm afraid of what people think of me. But here's the thing. In our minds, what we actually think of what people think of us, it's all in our head. This is what I want you to do. I want you to draw, because you've got little post-it notes, maybe just draw three circles instead of five. So I want you to all draw three circles that are like big enough to fill the page. And if you can fit, draw a body. Has everyone done that? Yes? Yes? Can you tell I was an architect once? Isn't that beautiful? It's so symmetrical, not. Now, I want you to draw faces on these people, and I want these faces to reflect the most negative audience that you could possibly picture in your mind. What are they thinking? What do they look like? Are they tired? Are they bored? Are they angry? What is the most negative, unsupportive audience, listener, whoever it is that you're trying to reach out to? What is the most negative picture that you can paint? Has everyone done that? You can go back, you can go home tonight and draw more faces if you want. You can draw a whole sea of an audience that hates you if you want. Now, I want you to grab another piece of paper, like rip off that post-it note, start a new one, and I want you to do the exact same thing, but this time I want you to put faces of the most positive, supportive audience that you can think of. What do they look like? What are they thinking about you? Are they telling all your friends about you? Are they sharing every single post? Are they fangirling, fanboying you? Without being creepy. The most positive picture of your audience. You're all very studious. This is great. All right, does everyone have that picture? Or close enough to it? Okay, now I want you to have a look at both of these pictures. Have a look at both of them. Now, tell me this. Did you just create both of those pictures from your own imagination, yes or no? Yes or no? Yes. Now tell me, which of these pictures is going to help you the most, the positive one or the negative one? The positive one, thank you. I'm glad one person could see that in the room. If you look at that negative picture and you choose to believe that that negative picture is real, do you think that helps you, yes or no? No, that does not serve you. On the contrary, if you choose to believe that positive picture of your audience, do you think that's going to help with your confidence? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. So what I'm saying here is oftentimes we make up this negative picture of our audience, what they're going to think of us in our head. But like you've just done here, you can just as equally create a positive picture of your audience, just as easily. And both of these can be equally true. It just depends on what you choose to believe. So next time you go out to speak, next time you podcast, I want you to think, what is this? Who is the audience that's listening? And you can stick that, like you can create a picture and actually physically stick it there and look at it and go, this is who I'm speaking to, all these wonderful, happy people that love my stuff. And if that fails, you can always just, you know, create a sock puppet and put it on your microphone and then just speak to the sock puppet. Wow, that'd be fun. Right? The final big idea I'm going to share with you today is to really stop caring about what other people think. I used to care about what people thought of me, and it used to actually hold me back when I was out having conversations with people. I'd sometimes feel like if someone said something I didn't understand what that thing was, I was always afraid that they would think I was stupid if I didn't understand what it was. So if someone said, oh, I'm a computer analyst. I was afraid to say, what does that mean? Let's be honest, who knows what an analyst actually does? See, right? This is why I teach people how to do this, how to explain what they do. But I used to be afraid that they're going to think I'm stupid if I don't know what an analyst is. So I'm just going to nod and go, okay, cool. And that just made it so difficult to carry on the conversation. Now, I don't care. I'm just like, I don't, what does that even mean? Like, I actually say, what does that even mean? And it forces them to explain it. And I've learned that they don't actually think any less of me. Well, they don't tell me anyway. but if they do, I don't care. I'm like, whatever. I want you to remember this number. 33%. Now, with any audience that you speak to, whether it's one-on-one, whether it's a podcast listener or you're speaking to a group, 33% of people will love you. They'll connect with you immediately. They'll be like, yep, like this person, love their style, super cool. I want to learn more about that person. I want to be friends with that person. Equally, 33% of people will not like you. They'll be like, nope, I don't really connect with this person. We have nothing in common. I don't like their style, whatever. She talks too fast. I don't like her accent, whatever. That's how it's going to be. And then 33% of people will be on the fence. They'll be like, yeah, she's okay. Not sure about the hair, but I don't know, her show sounds good. I don't know, haven't made up my mind yet. Now, the mistake that most people make is that they're so desperate to have people like them that they immediately try and target the 33% of people who don't like them. They go, I want everyone to like me, so I'm going to... And they start talking to the people who don't like... I'm just doing this as an... I'm not thinking, you don't like me. Sitting all the way over there. Look at us. We're not going to sit. We're going to sit down. 33%... a lot of people talk to the 33% who don't like them. When really, you should be talking to the 33% of people who do, right? And when you speak to people who already like you, you'll get that positive energy back. Thanks, Greg. Phil, you're all right. I like you. I'm one of your 33%. You'll get that energy. You'll be more authentic. You'll you know, you'll automatically become more of who you are that makes you more successful. And when you do that, the people in the middle who are a bit on the fence, they'll go, she looks like she's having fun. And hey, that 33% look like they're having fun. Maybe we should go join the 33%, right? So then you bring those people over. And then these guys over here might even say, oh, well, it looks like they're having fun over there. Maybe we should go. Maybe we should just go, like, go join them, right? So you may even end up converting some of the people who don't like you. But the important thing to remember here is that you need to accept that this is the number. If you accept that not everyone will like you and you get comfortable with the idea of, quote, failure, or, quote, you may not connect with everyone, not everyone will like you, that is extremely empowering. It's like a weight off your shoulders when you go, huh, I accept that not everyone will like me, and that's okay, you know? It's the same with being confident in any other situation, any other area of your life. Does anyone here read Mark Manson's blog? Anyone? He's an amazing blogger, and he wrote a post about confidence, and he says that people who are confident in business are comfortable with the idea of failure, that business might fail. People who are confident in their relationship are comfortable with the fact that it might end. And people who are confident in social situations are comfortable knowing that they might get rejected or they might meet someone who doesn't like them, okay? So if you might be able to think to an area of your life that you're very confident in, and if you think, yeah, I'm comfortable with that turning to shit, and if you are, then, you know, that gives you that confidence. Austin Kleon, I love his book, Steal Like an Artist. It's one of my favorite books about creativity. And this is something that he wrote in his book. And I think it just sums it up really nicely. We'll put a link to this in the show notes at busycreator.com/bonuschristina/bonuschristina. Okay, so those are those five big ideas I wanted to share with you. Just to recap, know your value. And guys, I want you to implement at least one thing that I've talked about tonight. And you've already done the audience draw activity, but if you can implement one of these things, that's going to help you, like, build that momentum anyway. Because it's all well and good to learn this stuff, but if you go home and don't implement, then it's like you haven't even been here, really, except, you know, you've gained some extra calories from the pizza. So know your value, watch that language, delete that word just. Just get started. Well, here I go again. See, I use the word just. Get started. I'm still practicing what I preach. Paint that picture of your audience, that positive picture, and care less about what other people think. Get comfortable with rejection and failure. You do all these things, you'll be well on your way to building unshakable confidence, not only in your podcast, blog, whatever it is, but also in your relationships and at work and in yourself. Thank you. So for the conference people, I shared with them this link, which I'm going to share with you too because you're awesome and you're all in my 33%, right? I put a bunch of resources about confidence. You don't have to sign up or anything. Just go there. It's all there. I put a bunch of resources like blogs and other podcast episodes, not just mine, and videos around this topic. So if you want to check it out, just go to themethod.com/PM16. And of course, check out my podcast. Email me if you have any questions. Love to connect. Thank you so much.
All right, Christina, thank you very much. Now, I do want to have some questions and open it up to the group to come up here and ask you questions, if that's okay with you, if you have the time.
Sure.
Okay.
Do you all have time?
Yeah.
I probably talk for way long over because I always do that.
All right. Well, let's see how it goes.
Okay.
But I have a question of my own.
Sure.
So I wonder if you could speak very quickly about the physicality of speaking and about finding your actual voice, finding your breath, and finding your enunciation. Did you struggle with that when you first started recording yourself?
For all the podcasters in the room, when you recorded yourself for the first time and listened back, were you in love with your own voice?
No.
It was so bad. I was like, do I really sound that nasally? It was horrible. That's a whole other thing, getting over your own voice. In terms of enunciation, look, there's nothing... if you listen back to yourself, that's the best way to really understand how you sound and whether people can understand you. Simply through podcasting, I've become a lot clearer in the way that I speak, and especially because I know I'm speaking to audiences all over the world that may not understand my Australian accent, I pronounce my R's a little bit more. I do. And people here sometimes think that I'm British, or sometimes people in Australia ask if I'm American. Like, I've had it a few times, which I don't think I sound American at all, but maybe it's because I actually pronounce my words clearly. Because Australians tend to have this habit of running all our words together and we're really rambling and not really like pronouncing our words properly and shortening everything. So simply listening, really, to yourself and asking for feedback. Like, if you record something and send it to someone and say, am I speaking too fast? Can you understand me? Feedback is so important from both yourself and other people.
Absolutely. I found a lot of that myself, that when you record yourself and you listen back, and especially if you edit yourself in software, you can actually see your verbal tics on the screen in front of you, and you get to know the unique shape of your own or whatever they are. So that's one thing, that you train yourself just by repetition. Like you said before, you don't have to be great to get started, and when you get started, you will discover some of your amateur behavior. But yeah, so thank you for that one.
On this page, I think I put a link. Oh no, I think I put it. I'll put a link to my very first podcast episode. And I speak like this. It's like, welcome everyone to my podcast. My name's Christina. And I'm too close to the mic. I'm like, hello everyone. My name's Christina. That's going to come through.
Yeah,
horribly.
You're peaking a little bit.
That's
there,
what it was like. So, yeah, you learn as you go.
I want to invite anyone else who has a question to come up to the actual mic here, record your question, and Christina will, wrap it back to you. Greg, you want to pass the mic?
So for those of you who don't know me, my name is Greg Clunas. I'm the host of the Tiny Leaps Big Changes podcast. And to comment on that last question, what I did for my first 10 episodes was actually sit down with a notepad and a pencil and write down everything I didn't like about how I delivered. And what that does is force you to actually pay attention, whereas just listening back, you sort of space out and think about other things. When you're writing it all down, you're almost pushed back into being a part of the process. So that really helped me, if that's something that anyone here is struggling with. And for you, Christina, your number one point was to know your value. And for myself, I've always found that I learn my value through doing things and creating and being whatever it is I say I want to be. If I want to be an author, by actually starting to write. So that's almost your number three point of just getting started to get good. So I would love to hear your thoughts on, is it actually possible to know your value before you start?
Ooh, that's a really good question. I would say knowing your value before you start would be, again, having that feedback from other people. So I'm sure you've all received compliments at some point in your life, whether you've, solicited or not. But that in itself is a clue as to what value you provide to other people. And it could be in any area of your life. And one example with me was that I'd have people say to me, oh, you've got a really nice voice. Have you considered doing voiceovers? And I was like, no, whatever. And I had a few people say that to me. And it wasn't until a radio broadcaster said to me, you've got a really nice voice. Have you thought about voiceovers? And I was like, well, if he thinks it's all right, then okay, maybe I'll try. I put myself on Fiverr as a voiceover artist. And now I'm doing voiceover work consistently. And that's a great revenue stream for me. Separate to my coaching and my speaking business. Now, I knew that value before I started voiceover, purely based of what other people had told me before getting started. So I would say anytime someone compliments you, log that away. It's like when you screenshot all your nice emails. Whenever someone says, oh, you do that really well. Again, just like with what I said with that first exercise, people say, oh, you do that well. You go, and why is that important to you? Just curious, like just ask them straight out. Why is that important to you? And they'll go, oh, well, because I mean, okay, so maybe it's like you dress nice. They might be like, well, it inspires me to be a bit better with my own wardrobe selection or something. And that's value right there. You're offering them value. So when someone compliments you, ask them. Ask them why that is. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, thank you.
All right, anyone else have a question? Please come down and make use of Christina's expertise while she's here.
Hi, Christina. My name is Lydia. I'm wondering, in developing this business, what were the biggest challenges you came across as you were looking to help other people and coach them?
The biggest challenges? Ooh. Who here runs their own business? A few people? Yeah. I know we all know that there's a lot of challenges associated with this. One of the biggest ones is finding your value, right? And because when you run your own business, when you start a business that's based around something that you love and that you're good at and that comes to you kind of naturally, it feels so weird to ask people to pay you for that. I worked with a client in Hong Kong right before I came to the US, and he runs a startup, and we spent a whole hour working on one sentence that he could use to explain his startup. It took us that long to get to it, and not just to get to it, but to get him to practice it and practice saying it over and over again. And for me, I was like, well, this is, because it's what I do, it's easy for me. Like coming in as an outsider and going, that's not what you do, that's what you do. That makes sense to me, that does not make sense to me. What are you saying? So, but for me, I was like, oh my God, he's paying me for this. Like one sentence we came up with, and this is something that comes to me, I wouldn't say naturally, but I'm good at it because that's my craft now. That's what I do. So getting over that whole, you know, value pricing, like how do you price yourself and accept, it's more of a mindset thing. It's accepting that, oh, this person's going to give me money for something that I would do anyway for free. Like, that's so weird. But at the end, this client at the end of the session, he was like, that was amazing. Can we have more? And I was like, wow, that's incredible. So, there's a great video by Derek Sivers, and it's called Obvious to You, Amazing to Others. And he talks about, it's so simple, great video. And he talks about how, like, everyone's good at their own thing. And to us, if someone's really good at something, we go, wow, that's amazing. But to them, it's obvious. It's like, yeah, why wouldn't you do that? And then, but we need to understand that for us, it's the same thing. For us, if something's obvious, we just do that thing. But to others, it's amazing. Like, oh my God, how do you do text? How do you do graphic design? So I could never do text like that. But for graphic design, it's like, of course, it's obvious. Why wouldn't you do it like this? So that, again, comes back to knowing your value. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, thank you.
Just quickly want to add something on that. That seems to be a recurring theme in my show and the conversations I have about bridging that gap from the practitioner to the business owner. And if you're – a lot of people in this room actually are writers, video editors, creatives of various kinds. And when it comes to talking about your work, you're great at that. You've been doing that for 10 years. You're, you know, really great at whatever, using Final Cut and editing film. And then when someone says, so how much does it cost? You're like, because you've never learned how to talk about money. And I remember I don't remember the fellow's name, but there was this talk that happened in Britain. And it was, you know, one of the famous guys, maybe it was like Michael Wolff or one of those who's big in the advertising and design fields. And he used to coach his junior designers to say the fees. Cause a lot of them, like, especially if you're like 23 years old, the phrase £200,000 has never come out of your mouth. So when you go in the room with clients, you have to be completely unflinching just to say the figure, let alone the whole conversation about negotiations. So it is a remarkable thing. It's unfortunately, it's not going to get solved in one day. But I think just like recording yourself in general, having conversations about money and about value are always necessary practice.
Hmm. Well said.
Cheers. All right. Any other questions? Yeah, come on up.
Hello, Christina.
Hi, Aram.
How are you?
I'm well, thanks.
All right.
Can we give a round of applause to Aram because he came here all the way from Long Island?
All right.
Thanks, I guess. So.
Know your value, Aram. Know your value.
So I know Christina for a while. And so I'm going to ask you a precise question that maybe many don't know, but it might help to really understand the knowing your value question. So I know for me, When I try to know my value, of course, I ask people and they give me feedback, and I still don't believe it after they give me feedback. And so when you were going through Design Draw Speak, yes, said it right.
This okay. is my first podcast.
Yeah, so we met when she had her first podcast. And you are going through the phase of you're starting to get pretty good at the podcasting. You did like a podcast with Museum Hack, which was really awesome. And you're finally getting to the point now where you're realizing that, hey, my value here is good, but I could be better here. What went through your mind when you were looking at giving up something that you put so much time into? Because I know for me or for people that are here, a lot of the time we're good at many different things, but we don't know how to gauge how good we are at each of those different things. And so as we work on something or as we start to see our value, we don't really know if the thing that we're doing over there is actually better than the thing we're doing over here. So could you explain that transition from Design Draw Speak into the C method?
That's an amazing question. So thank you for asking. So my first podcast, I did that for 9 months. And as you saw, it was for design students and graduates. And that was based around public speaking. And then later on, it was about job interviews and that job hunting process. And I only picked that niche because I used to be an architect. So that's what I knew at the time. Now, during that time, I was living in America. I was traveling around Europe. I was meeting with a lot of other podcasters, business owners. And I started to get this great response from that community. I would make videos for well-known podcasters asking them to be guests on my show, and they'd say yes. Like Pat Flynn, and I did one for Andrew Warner as well, if you know who he is. And they were saying no to everyone else, but they said yes to me. Anyway, this got the attention of a lot of the online business community. And they're going, who is this girl? That was amazing that you did that. So I'm getting all this response from over here, from these guys, and I'm hanging out with these people and connecting with them. And the people I'm trying to reach, the architecture industry people, the response was, you know, not as great and positive as these guys. And I realized two things. Firstly, you need to work with the people who see the value in you. The people, I was like, I'm getting a response from these people, so why would I not work with these people rather than the people I'm chasing and not getting much from? And the second thing I realized was that architecture students and graduates don't give a shit about public speaking. I thought, you know, this is, I mean, it's what they need. Of course they need it, but they don't want it. Because when you're in school, you're only graded on your project, your design. You're not graded on how you present it. Well, it wasn't when I was at school anyway. So I started to think, should I switch? What am I good at? And it wasn't an easy process because I was looking at all the things that people saw valuable in me. And I went through a stage of thinking, do I work just with podcasters? Do I work with people teaching them to be creative? Do I work with architecture professionals, not just students? So I went through this whole phase of trying to figure out what the next thing would be. And I think it's important when you're at that point to take your time and to not just jump into the next thing and to really think about what is it that people like about me? What do they see valuable in me? And do I really want to work with these people? Because I've also learned that you need to love who your audience is. You need to love working with them. And are there any architects in the room? No, good. Yeah, I don't love working with architects. So I'm like, I don't necessarily love them specifically as a group. So, but hey, I love working with business owners. I love working with young professionals who are super enthusiastic and willing to take their careers to the next level. So they want to work on themselves. So that's really important. Finding the people who really love you and what they love about you. Does that answer your question?
Of course.
Sort of.
No, it does. And I thank you for sharing that, because that is pretty much the whole entrepreneur journey. It's pretty much that. So I'm in that process as well. And it has been very interesting going through that change. But seeing you fly from New York to Hong Kong, to back to Melbourne, to somewhere else, to back to Hong Kong, to Melbourne again, and then here is very commendable. And we all appreciate you.
Thanks, Aram. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thank you for asking that question. It doesn't look like there's any further questions, and I think we've kind of expended the time for this chatter portion of the evening. So you're welcome to more pizza, more beer, hang out for a little while longer. But thank you, everyone, for coming. And thank you, Christina, for enlightening us as well. Another round of applause.
Thank you so much, everyone. Oh, my God, there's like 100 people. Wow, you're amazing.
All right, and before I forget, I want to give Greg his prize for reaching a milestone. This is a hashtag podcaster t-shirt from Libsyn. So, Greg, here you go.
Well done.
Congratulations. I think it's really important. I think it's really important for all of us to celebrate our milestones, even if they're small, even if they're the first episode, even the first recording that you don't plan on releasing, but celebrating those miniature milestones, especially with a safe group, with a group who's like-minded and going through a similar struggle. So bring those back to the next event. Hopefully we can arrange that sometime in August. I'll chat with Nick, of course, and see what's cooking. But thank you for coming once again, and check your email for the wrap-up with all these links and everything else. Cheers.
Yay.
The theme song for The Busy Creator is an original composition by Joaquin Kotler. Check him out at joaquinkotler.com. The Busy Creator is a project from Starship Design, graphic design and branding for small business and startups. Visit us online at starshipdesign.us. I'm Prescott Perez Fox, and thank you for listening to The Busy Creator Podcast. I'm hanging out online, so come connect with me. Until next time, get busy and create.